Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. This morning, I want to talk about promises and commitments. How important promises are, and maybe this morning you need a promise, and maybe this morning you need hope that God will show up. It's my hope this morning that we would see and recognize that when God makes a promise, you can count on it. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read the first six verses. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him." Now, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, assembling all the chief priests and scribes and the people, he inquired of them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" They told him, "Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people.'" Let's take a moment to pray, and then we'll dive into this. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that it would be profound this morning, that you would, in spite of me, use this time to redeem us, that our thoughts and hopes would be directed towards you, and that we would see Christ, the hope of glory, that we would see Christ, and that we would place our faith and trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew, the disciple of Jesus, as he records by the direction of the Holy Spirit, directs us to this promise. A promise by the prophet Micah that out of Bethlehem, a ruler, a shepherd would arise, would be brought forward. That this shepherd, this ruler, would give hope and peace to the world. You know, understanding a little bit about that promise and understanding the context of it and who Micah is, who is speaking, maybe has a greater impact for us this morning, and that we wouldn't just skip over this. Micah was a prophet who was from the country, actually. He rose up from the country, a small community of Gath, and he was told by God to go and to prophesy to Judah and to tell them a few things. This unlikely character heads to Judah and he prophesies a few things. One, he says to the people that judgment is coming. The people had departed far from God, and this message of judgment was repeated by a number of prophets. Let me give you a little bit of an Old Testament history lesson here, just kind of quickly. You'll remember Adam and Eve were born, and from them they had offspring, and then the flood and the Tower of Babel. Let's move along to Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham is chosen by God from Ur to raise up a mighty people to be a blessing to the world, to declare to the world who God is. You see, the world had gone its own way, and God wanted to reveal himself. And so by his grace and mercy, he chose Abram and said, "Abram, you will be, and your descendants will be a declaration to the world as to who I am." Abraham and his family. There's all kinds of wonderful stories pointing to Christ there. They kind of follow through, and God raises up judges because the people depart, and a judge comes and brings them back, and they depart. And eventually the people say, we want to be like the other nations. We want to have a king like every other nation. Now, God, in his plan, had determined that they would have a king, but the timing wasn't right. But he relented because the people refused to accept no for an answer. I've often said, be careful about God's timing in your prayer requests. Best to let him be in charge and not us, for sometimes he gives us what we asked, though it not be best for us. That's exactly what God did. He gives him a king, and Saul, who is this beautiful man who's head and shoulders above the rest, is chosen by the people and by God to be king, but his character didn't measure up, and so Saul becomes king, and he's removed from the kingdom because his heart doesn't reflect God, and God chooses David, and David rises up, and he's a man who's after God's own heart, and he becomes the king and thus leads the people. He has a son whose name is Solomon, and there's much sin and judgment on the family and all of that. Solomon builds the temple because David wasn't allowed to, and fortifies the city, and the glory of God is revealed through Solomon and the kingdom. But his sons get in a fight, and as you can see on the diagram behind me, there's a split. There's the northern kingdom, which is 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom, which is 2 tribes. Now, the northern kingdom, what you need to realize, by and large, was pursuing not God, but pagan practices. They rejected God for the most part and didn't want to follow him. And so king after king after king was extremely wicked. Now, in the midst of this, in the southern kingdom, you would get some godly kings and some not-so-godly kings. Micah, if you turn to Micah chapter 5, where this prophecy is declared with me, Micah chapter 5, he's a contemporary of Isaiah, about 700 years ahead of Christ and his fulfillment of the prophecy. Now, Micah comes out of the country to declare that judgment is coming on the people, and he's speaking with Isaiah. Now, where they mesh together, this is very interesting, is they come and they're speaking to the king. Now, Isaiah, just a little bit, he starts first. Isaiah sees the kingdom going sideways. Isaiah chapter 6, you see King Uzziah coming in, and he says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. I went to the temple, I saw the Lord, and the glory of God filled the temple. You remember this really famous passage. Well, he sees the Lord, and the Lord leads him to a place of repentance. Isaiah says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and God sends a cherubim down with coal to cleanse his lips. I've often wondered if that was physical or simply figurative when the coal touched Isaiah's lips. After the purification and the glory of God, God says, whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, send me, Lord. Send me. An opportunity to go and to serve. And so God sends him to go and to pronounce this judgment. The next king after Uzziah is King Ahaz. Now, in world events, things are happening. As you can see here, Assyria is starting to dominate. Now, the Assyrians were a wicked, wicked people. As a matter of fact, Jonah had already spoken to them not 100 years previously for their wickedness, and they had repented. But now they had fallen back into their wicked ways, and they were starting to expand, and they were expanding even on down into Egypt. They were conquering the land everywhere they went. Now, they hadn't quite conquered the promised land yet, but to the north, Israel wants to conquer Judah to the south. Are you tracking with me? And so Israel makes an agreement with Syria and says, let's together collectively attack Judah. King Ahaz hears of this and he's highly concerned. He knows that he cannot withstand an attack from Syria and Israel. Isaiah and Micah come into the picture. And they stand before King Ahaz and they say to King Ahaz, trust in the promises of God. He'll defend you. King Ahaz refuses. Isaiah stands before him and says, listen, I know you're struggling. I know you don't think that God can protect you from Syria and from Israel. He'll give you a sign. Just ask. Isaiah's pleading with King Ahaz to trust in God, not in his own way. Ask for a sign. God will give you a sign. King Ahaz refuses a sign. Isaiah says, and you'll remember this, Isaiah says to King Ahaz, a virgin will give birth to prove Emmanuel, God is with you. That's the context. It's a double promise. It's a promise to King Ahaz that God will protect him from this threat from the north, from Israel and Syria. Trust the sign. King Ahaz refuses. Micah comes into the picture and he encourages King Ahaz, trust God. In the midst of your circumstances, God is faithful. He's dependable. Don't trust what you see. Trust God. King Ahaz says no. And so he sends word to Assyria, this wicked, wicked nation. The Assyrians are known for being wicked, destructive, cruel beyond measure. That's the Assyrians. They filleted people alive. You picture this? In the book of Kings, the Assyrians, when they conquered the nation, they would do what they want to the family in front of the royalty and then pluck his eyes out and sear them shut. So the last thing he saw was his family being tortured and abused. This is the Assyrians. King Ahaz says, I want to trust in the Assyrians instead of in God. And Isaiah and Micah are saying, don't do it. Trust in God. He refuses. And God said, listen, the north will not conquer, they will be conquered. And the Assyrians will come down and they will strangle you, but not conquer all of you. No, the Babylonians would eventually do that. It's in the midst of this turmoil, real friction, that Micah makes this promise. It says to the nation of Judah, but you, O Bethlehem, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler of Israel. Micah is saying that even in the midst of all this, even though you've rejected God, even though you've rejected God's plan, and you went out and you hired the Assyrians and used the temple gold to win over the Assyrians, and even though you're using them to defeat the north, even though you've rejected God, here's the promise of God that out of Bethlehem, a ruler will rise up. Micah, in his words, are so careful. Notice it says, O Bethlehem, you who are too little among the clans of Judah, you shall come forth, or from you shall come forth one who is to be a ruler of Israel. Notice that Micah doesn't say one shall be born. No, you shall come forth. It speaks to the internality of Jesus, that the God head, that God who would become flesh and dwell among us, it weaves together that he is begotten, not born. Out of Bethlehem, he says, shall come forth a ruler in Israel. From of old, from the ancient of days. This is the promise to the people that even in the midst of all of this judgment that God is going to pour out because you've rejected him, God is going to circle back around. And he's going to prove that he's faithful even though we are faithless. And then he describes to us a picture of what this ruler will look like. He says in verse 4 that he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. This ruler who will come won't rule necessarily with an iron fist, but rather he'll be like a shepherd who comes. And his flock is strengthened in the Lord. The promise is not only will he come and be gotten in the city of Bethlehem, but when he comes, he will shepherd and strengthen the people who place their faith and trust in him. And the majesty of the name of the Lord is God. And they should dwell secure. There will be a confidence that God is our refuge and our strength. He shall give security and now to the ends of the earth. How beautiful and wonderful. What an incredible promise that Micah is making to the people of God in the midst of their rejection. Finally, Micah goes on to say, and he shall bring peace. Even when the Assyrians come into our land and tread on our palaces. Even though this is going to happen because you've rejected God, God's going to send forth a ruler, a shepherd who will give security and strength to those who place their trust in him. And this peace shall go throughout all the land to the ends of the earth. This is the promise of God. What's the application? Well, when we flip back to Matthew chapter 2, this is the scripture that the scribes are drawing Herod's attention to. This is what the scriptures that the scribes are saying, this is being fulfilled if the Messiah has come. They understood the tension and the historical narrative that I just described to you. It was out of Bethlehem that the ruler would come forth. And in their day, it was happening. Now, think of that for just a moment, loved ones. Micah prophesied this 700 years before this. Isn't that just mind-boggling? Pastor Art said last week that when he went to Bethlehem, he was mildly surprised at the appearance of Bethlehem. It wasn't all that great. And that's what we see here even in the text, this lowly community far from Jerusalem and the protection of Jerusalem would stand strong for 700 years in order to fulfill the prophecy of Micah. Think of that. I mean, how old is Spruce Grove? Someone help me out here. 60 years? 40 years? Help me out. I don't want to... Ms. Frostack, could you help me, please? Not to put you on the spot. What? I heard over here. How old is it? 60 years-ish. Let's say that. Okay. Oh, Paul's back here. He knows too, doesn't he? About 90? Thank you. I was way off, wasn't I? I'm glad we clarified this week versus next week. Think of this. 90 years. Spruce. Can you imagine someone saying that in 600 more years from Spruce Grove, a significant historical figure is going to rise up? Communities come and go all the time. Assyria, this great empire, was replaced by the Babylonians. It didn't endure, but Bethlehem did. Bethlehem did. Why? Well, simply because of the person of Jesus Christ. You see, it's all about Him. It's about Jesus. You see, Jesus is God in flesh who dwelt among us. There is a redemptive plan in place that no one can thwart. And when God makes a promise, and that promise is Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of that causes the angels to sing. See, that lowly town and in that manger and in that crib was the promise of what Micah is pointing to. That God was not done, that Jesus would come and bring hope, that Jesus would shepherd the people, that Jesus would bring peace and security. It all points to Jesus. Apart from Him, there is no promise. Apart from Him, there is no peace. Apart from Jesus, there is no security. Apart from Him, there is no direction. He is the fulfillment of the promise, and He is the promise. And loved ones, what's your story today? Do you look at the world stage and are you highly concerned? Don't be, for Jesus is the ruler. He's in control. Loved ones, are you struggling this Christmas season? Unsure of the way forward? Unsure of how to move forward? Look to Jesus, for He is our hope, and His promises are true. Loved ones, if you're unsure of your eternity, that's why Jesus came. You see, if Micah 5:2 and Matthew 2 say anything, it says this, that no situation's so bad that Jesus can't redeem. I can't make right. Bring your sin to the foot of the cross and allow the power of the resurrection to raise from the ashes hope and peace. May this Christmas season be different for each one of us, not because of us, but because of Him. It may seem at times like He's slow in responding, but when He makes a promise, you can count on it.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.